Sue Gabriel from Beverly Bootstraps is joining us. Sue, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me this morning.
The executive director of Beverly Bootstraps. And Sue, give us a quick update, if you will. It doesn't have to be quick, but give us a quick update and an overview on Beverly Bootstraps in the context of here December 2022.
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, it has been incredibly, incredibly busy here at Beverly Bootstraps. For your listeners, if they don't know about us, we do lots of things here. Our main focus is to help people the minute that they are having some real issues. So we address food insecurity with a lot of food assistance programs. We try to help folks if they are struggling with rent or mortgage payments, our utility bills, or heating costs. We want to make sure that the first thing that we do is stabilize them with food and those basic needs. But then, a little bit different from some of the other agencies in the area, we also like to go deeper. We really want to figure out what's going on with them and, if possible, help them to self-sufficiency. So we offer adult education classes, both English language classes, and also we get people ready to take their HICET test, which will get them to a high school equivalency exam and a certificate so that they can either go on to more schooling or hopefully a little more pay at work. And then we also have some seasonal programs because we know, especially this time of year, people might choose to buy holiday gifts over paying rent or fixing the car or whatever other necessity is in that budget. And so we are actually serving just shy of 750 children this year with that program, which is absolutely amazing. We also do back-to-school supplies for the kids when they go back to school. And we have a free low-income tax program that is amazing. We returned over $800,000 back to the community last year. So we're really busy around here, but this time of year especially is so very busy.
Looking at the economic conditions around the country and inflation, is the crunch even bigger in the last month or so for you?
It's been, we've seen a real increase all fall. We are seeing numbers of visits to our food assistance programs just like nothing we've ever seen before. We did anticipate it, so we did, you know, we added some staff folks, and we kind of built into our budget that we might need to pay a little bit more for food. But I have to say it's actually outstripping even what we anticipated. So you know, I go to the grocery store and I'm amazed at what everything rings up to and everyone else is, and certainly all the folks that we help. It's a real stretch for them. So we're seeing people that we haven't seen in a decade back asking for some help.
The other thing too, Sue, we did a feature a couple of years ago now, but one of the things that struck me about your organization is that your organization, if I have it right now, and you can explain this better than I can, is a bridge for some people that might not be able to qualify for certain kinds of aid, but really do need it, kind of aid. Can you explain that a bit to me? Do I have that right?
You are absolutely correct that there is, so there's income guidelines for every program that's out there. And so if you just happen to be a few dollars, you make a few dollars more than what that number is to qualify, then you cannot access some of those programs. And yet, you can't really pay all your bills. And so there's a gap there between those folks that qualify for particularly our federally funded programs and then that place where they really could call themselves self-sufficient. And that's a real sweet spot for us where we help a lot of those folks that are just trying to make that budget work. And they're working really hard, or they're already retired, or, you know, they've had just a couple of really rough months. They've been sick and out of work, or there are so many reasons people come through our door.
Yeah. So an example would be somebody that's working hard, but still not making enough money to meet their needs to some level, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. All they need is, you know, the car breaks, and that's the way that they get to work. And so they have a repair bill of $800 that month, and every month it's just, you know, the pennies are just just maybe making that budget, but then that month they have that expenditure, and so then, you know, then where does that money come from? Because there's not enough income coming in, so something else has to give. And so we would much rather they come here and we can help them with food and whatever else we potentially could help them with, so that they're still paying their rent and they keep their housing.
Yeah, to me, very powerful program design, if you will, to help support a community. Okay, so now you kind of mentioned the Children's Gift Program. Can you explain that to us a bit more?
Oh, absolutely. So we are winding it up this year, but it was it's absolutely an amazing, amazing program. We have folks, our clients actually sign up for it in September, October timeframe. We actually do a full profile with our folks. So we have people who call and do, we call it an intake, and we actually ask what's the child's favorite color, what toys might they like. So we have a great wish list that comes from those families. We use a wonderful software, and we let our donors know towards the end of October, early November, hey, we've got a whole number of families out there that really could use your help. Our donors go on to that website. They choose a family that whose story speaks to them, and they support, they choose to sponsor that family. They go out and they shop, and right after Thanksgiving it starts to become an absolute workshop here with all kinds of gifts coming in through the door. We have had some amazing volunteers work with us this year to just sort of check everything out, make sure it all seems like it's the right family and, you know, the items that the family has wished for, and then we package it all up in these big contractor bags. And then our grateful families come and they retrieve it. And we've had lots of tears this year, lots of tears. A lot of people really, really needing that help and just so very, very grateful for our donors and their efforts to make sure that the holidays are going to be good for their children and that they don't have to choose to spend money that's so very necessary for them to be spending on rent or whatever other basic need in order to make sure their children have a great holiday.
Sue, I have one other question for you, but before I do that, since what you were just speaking to leads into donations, so we'll put up a tab up on this post for donations, but tell me, what do you need for donations, and when they go to that tab, what should they be looking for?
Well, people can help us in so many different ways, but cash is king. cash is always the easiest thing for us to deal with, or obviously not cash necessarily.
No, I hear you.
We love credit card donations or any way that people get it to us. But if we have that, we have the opportunity to see where the need is. For instance, we have under budgeted the cost of food for us as an agency this year. So if someone sends us in cash or, you know, again, that donation by credit card or check, we can then apply it where we need to. And that changes for us because depending on what's going on out in our big environment out there and our clients' needs change, depending on how that goes, if we have money that we can then apply to whatever that need is at the time, that's a really helpful thing for us. And sadly, we're growing again. I always say it would be the very best thing if there was no need in the community and we could just all go find other jobs. But that's not the case, and it's definitely not the case at this moment. It's really tough out there for folks. So if people want to give to us, what I can guarantee as the executive director is we will steward that money very, very carefully. We will make sure that it gets spent in a way that it is really helping the neighbors in the communities that we serve.
You know, Sue, you were mentioning under budgeting for food, but I can't imagine there's anyone in this country or the North Shore that has over budgeted for food the way the costs are. I mean, it's impossible.
Thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing. And you know, we do our budget in March, and we start our fiscal year in July. And so, you know, a year ago, we just didn't know that the prices would be what they are today. So,
all right. So you have a new food locker program or a facility there. Tell me more about that. What is that?
Oh, it's really, really exciting. So, you know, we started to talk about how we knew there was a gap. We knew there was a gap in who we were serving and who had need in the community. We knew from some data that we just weren't serving everyone that that had food insecurity in their world. And we actually were chatting with some of the folks at one of the local colleges as well about the students there and the fact that there was a fair amount of food insecurity among that population. And we just started thinking about how could we fulfill that gap. And actually, our director of development and external affairs, Chris, who came up with the idea of, hey, these retail folks are doing these lockers. Could we do the same kind of thing? And so we started to look into it, and sure enough, there was a unit that could withstand the elements outside. It can be temperature controlled, so it will be refrigerated, and it's sitting in the community already. It's in a downtown location in Beverly, and so this is our pilot program. And so we hope to get it online in January and have clients begin to use it. And what is wonderful about it is there will be no issue with access. People can go online. They can put in an order. We fulfill it, put it in the locker. We send them their texted a code. They are able then to go to that locker when it's convenient for them. You know, they're getting out of work at 7 a.m. They can pop by. They have young children. They can wait for somebody to watch the children and then to go run over and pop that locker open and get their food, and then, you know, they can do it again. So we really think it's going to create an opportunity for folks who we haven't been able to serve in some of our other models. So we're really, really excited about it.
Well, Sue, I can't imagine anyone listening to you here in the last several minutes and listening to what Beverly Bootstraps does is not just totally amazed at the scope of the work and the detail of the work that you guys are doing there. So as a final comment from you, anything else you want to share about Beverly Bootstraps as we, you know, head into the holiday season? But again, anything else, anything coming up 2023 or whatever?
Absolutely. I would say this, and I'm reminded every single year at this, particularly at this time of year, it's the community that allows us to do this work. Without the community, we don't exist. And it, you know, it was community started 30 years ago, and I just am always so grateful and so amazed at the generosity that this area has for those who really need their help. And we're just really honored here to be the conduit of those that have and are willing to share, and to be able to support those that are just in rough times. So, you know, just thank you. Thank you to all your listeners and all those folks that allow us to do this work.
I have to ask you, Sue, one last question, and that is about one of your volunteers, Marty Smith. What can you tell me about him and his role he plays there?
Oh, my gosh. He is one of the nicest people that you will ever meet. He just very quietly goes and does these jobs that are not glamorous, picking up food from some of our great partners in the community, just very quietly making sure that things happen here. A very generous person in all the ways that it counts, his time, his energy, and I will say he opens his wallet too. So he's a very, very wonderful, wonderful friend to Beverly Bootstraps.
I know he's very nice, and I didn't know he opened up his wallet, though. Okay, that's good to know.
He does, a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Everything, he's a great guy, and you guys are doing some fantastic work. And so best of luck. Again, hit that donate button, link on our website, or go to their website where the donate button is there as well. But Sue, thanks so much for joining us, and best for everybody in the holidays to your staff and all the folks that are unfortunately all of the folks that are taking advantage of your services there.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and hopefully I'll come visit you again sometime.
You got it. Sue Gabriel, Executive Director, Beverly Bootstraps. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.